This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition podcast, Doctor Strange. Welcome to an iFanboy special edition podcast talking about the Marvel Studios movie Doctor Strange. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Mike Romo.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Really quite good. It's good to hear your
voice. That's good, yeah.
I slept an extra hour.
It's great. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah.
I like the combination of talking about mystic magical things on the weekend that we get to change our clocks back. So there you go.
It's really amazing just how powerful that little thing can be.
It really takes
you right back.
Really is. So as mentioned, we're here to talk about the latest in the Marvel Studios canon movie, Doctor Strange, as well as the final it's the final superhero movie of the year, but we got one more movie to be excited about, which is Star Wars, but we'll talk about that later on. So.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about what happens in the movie. So spoiler warning. So spoilers be warned. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you might want to press pause, go see the movie, come back, listen to this, or just be aware
and repeat
every little nuance. Yes. So this is Doctor Strange. It was directed by Scott Derrickson. And it's who I don't know what else he's done.
I don't know anything about Scott. Yeah, do that.
And it's with the expert casting of Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. So Scott Derrickson did as a director. He's a bunch of writing credits, but as a director, he directed The Day the Earth Stood Still, Deliver Us from Evil, Sinister. Mm. Yeah, so The Exorcism of Emily
Rose. So this
is
a great first film.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, that might have been. Interesting.
So we've seen stills of them filming, the shot of Benedict Cumberbatch and Chiwetel Ejiofor running through Manhattan, and the controversial casting of Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. This was definitely, I think, in the category, much like Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man. We're like, all right, well, this is the one that's going to bomb, right?
Well, you know, it's so funny because I had like literally zero expectations. Like, I was kind of pleasantly surprised to hear that people were liking it this week. But like, I came into it going, show me what you got. You know, I don't have an emotional tie to the character. Strange is like one of those characters where I really feel like I should know more about him. And yet I don't really think I've even seen a standalone title since when I was reading as a kid. I mean, I loved him in the new Avengers books and stuff like that as a supporting character.
Sure.
But he's one of those characters where I feel like he's kind of like the hipster choice. Like, I there's probably some dude in skinny jeans who knows all about him and is talking about him right now. But
well, I don't know about that. That's a little. I mean, as you mentioned, I don't think it's hipsters and skinny jeans, but I think it's people like our friend James over at Isotope Comics and things like that who are very big Steve Ditko fans and Steve Englehart and 70s fans. But yeah, the thing about Doctor Strange is that we've joked about it on the regular iFanboy podcast, where Doctor Strange is the character that. When you ask comic writers or any comic creators, what Marvel character would you want to take a stab at? Many of them over the years have said Doctor Strange, and many of them have tried. And for whatever reason, Doctor Strange in modern times has been unable to hold a regular ongoing title. I believe the current one with Jason Aaron and Chris Pacello is honestly the longest running Doctor Strange book we've seen in a while. Before this, the one that we would always point to was the Brian K. Vaughan, Marcos Martin, Doctor Strange, The Oath. In between those two, I know Mark Waid took a stab on it that wasn't very good. And then Doctor Strange has been a supporting character in the Avengers. But really, where Doctor Strange, when I think about Doctor Strange, I think about late 1960s, 1970s, twisty, trippy mindscapes and, you know, crazy Steve Ditko art, crazy, you know, 70s kind of out there ideas. And really, when you think about it, if any character was made for film, Doctor Strange had the most potential with his just crazy magical fantasy kind of settings and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I saw it in Hollywood at the Arclight Dome, which was the perfect place to see it because it looks like this crazy sorcerer's den anyway, this honeycombed roof, this crazy purple dome and with the lights changing. And I think I absolutely agree. Like someone on Twitter said that Doctor Strange went full Ditko.
Yeah.
Apparently. And I loved how bold it was. I think starting from the moment the all caps Marvel Studios
new studios intro was just was all right. We get it, you know. Like it was very self indulgent. It was very.
I couldn't. I guess you're making a statement. Okay, I get it. No one else can do what you do. But man, I burst out laughing when I saw it because it's like not only do we own the comics, but now our characters, our cinematic universe is officially here to stay.
Right.
And I thought it was a really bold. And a lot of swagger, swag, as the kids would say, as it opened the film. But, you know, right away, it really celebrates being a cinematic experience, right, with the Ancient Ones battle in Hollywood, where you really say, okay, you've probably seen some of these images in the trailers or whatever, so we're going to get right into it. Right. The real world is subject to an incredible amount of sorcery. And it really felt like sorcery, the magic here. It wasn't like, I mean, Harry Potter, it was funny because I saw that Magical Beasts and Where to Find Them or whatever trailer right before, and it's sort of like whimsical and fun and people with, you know, nice hats and Victorian, you know, clothing, but this is like sorcery. It's like there's a heaviness to this magic. And visually, I just thought the first act of this was just like a joy for me. Establishing the universe.
Hang on. Cause I thought the first 40 minutes was boring as shit, but,
I really liked it.
But admittedly you're talking about the opening scene where the Ancient One fights a battle in London and you get a sense of the space, but then it goes into Dr. Stephen Strange and his cockiness and his arrogance and then his accident and his injury. And then what feels like an eternity of like, here's my biggest problem with it. And so all in all, like let's get it out of the way. It sounds like you liked the movie, Mike, right?
I did. I did enjoy it. I did.
Okay.
I went in not with zero expectations of enjoying the film. So I went in
with zero expectations too. I mean, I'm not a huge Doctor Strange fan. You know, I'm very curious how they're going to translate these to the movies.
Yeah.
So I came out of it thinking, oh, that was good, as I'm nodding, but like, but it definitely, I didn't think it was great. I think that it definitely moved faster and felt tighter than previous Marvel movies.
For sure.
I felt it was just very tight, very, very tight, almost to the point of hurting, but almost to the point of, bringing down the movie a bit, and it almost was too tight.
Interesting.
And I'll get to that in a second. But what struck me the most was that for the majority of the movie, I did not like the main character.
And I think that was the main trick. I think he went in a really interesting direction with it. Yeah. He reminded me of sort of a mix of Harrison Ford's Regarding Henry. That's the one where he lost his memory.
Yes.
And a mix of his that Regarding Henry guy meets Indiana Jones, right? It's like sort of like this sort of put upon genius who was very almost house-like impatient with the rest of it. And I agree. I mean, he went right – for me, he went right to the edge of unlikable. He was certainly you know, his entire arc is about trying to learn how to be selfless, I think, especially towards the end. Yeah. But I can see what you're saying. I had never really imagined the character as being as arrogant, but then I was like, well, maybe that's what the character was like. I've always sort of felt in the books that I've read him in, at least, he's been a man with a mission to defend the planet. Like, I haven't seen him a lot of his personal character. So maybe this Cumberbatch was just trying to really zig hard when he would later zag at the end of the movie. But it didn't bother me.
And that's the thing, is that I think the zig was almost perilously too hard in that the first, I kind of point to the first interaction in the library with Wong after Doctor Strange has gone to the Ancient One and started learning and started training and all stuff like that. There's a moment when he's shaved the goatee in place and he's got his sorcerer costume on, and that's the point where I felt an emotional kind of changeover. I'm like, okay, now we're getting into the character that I would expect to see. And yes, he was cocky in that, but it was for the thirst of knowledge and it was the thirst to be good. And to be better and to, you know, to do all this sort of stuff. Whereas beforehand, and I get he was, you know, the one thing he defined himself by his hands and his ability to do surgery as a doctor, and he lost that. And so, of course, he lashes out and he hurts, you know, poor Rachel McAdams, who had just waste of a role. Yeah, just like you get a great actress like Rachel McAdams and just have her be, you know, like that's a big black mark on this, is that, like, you know, comparing to like the previous solo movie with Ant-Man. We had Evangeline Lilly, who was a strong character who wasn't just there to respond to him when he showed up. So that was that. I think that was a down point.
I think that was the weakest part of the movie for me personally.
Oh, absolutely.
It really wasted her talents. I mean, she would never even got to go outside, for God's sakes. It was. Right. I feel like she got some scenes cut or something. But go ahead.
Who knows? Who knows? But the jerk of Dr. Stephen Strange didn't come back around until towards the end again, where I was kind of reminded of it. You know, kind of before the big battle, and where he doesn't want, where he's reluctant and all this sort of stuff. But then he kind of embraces it, and the swagger with putting the cloak on and all that sort of, I don't know.
Right.
It just felt like very uneven, bordering on the side of unlikable. And these are heroes. I want to like them. So I get that that's a personality trait, and I guess they probably did that on purpose, but I think that they just kind of went too far.
It definitely left that bad taste in your mouth. That probably did for you. And I think they tried to – he may have done it really hard in the first half of the film to make the humor play, to sort of see him start to learn about – get humility and stuff. You really don't get even an apology until the very, very end. You know, he's writing emails, and you can see the struggle. But by that time, maybe for a lot of people and to myself, it was a little too late to be interested in him becoming humble.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me as much because I enjoyed what he was doing, but I could see, you know, dude, just, you know, let go a little bit and be a little bit more vulnerable, because you never really get to see him privately, right? Even in the scenes where he's alone, he's studying and doing stuff. So in many ways, we still don't really know who he is, even by the end of the movie. We see that he is now a man with a mission and a man with a duty. But if there is a weakness to sort of, and that's kind of it with, that's, it's kind of interesting that I leave the movie not really knowing much more than I did about him than when I went into the movie, right?
Yeah.
You know, and having been a professed comics fan, I thought, because I saw it with my wife Whitney and her friend Anne-Marie, and Anne-Marie had not seen any of the Marvel movies, right? She thought we were going to Doctor Strange Love to see. And so she was really excited when she found, oh, good, I've never seen any of these movies. And they both really enjoyed it because it was such you know, it was a really good experience cinema-wise.
Well, yeah, well, like, I think that goes back to something you said earlier at the beginning, which is I think one of the stars of the movie are the effects and the visual effects.
Yeah.
Now that said, I think they were absolutely stunning, and there was a ton of eye candy with the buildings folding in and all the, you know, the right. mirror dimension and all the, you know, the Inception-esque, you know, because that's the only yes. other, you know, kind of reference we have to it. Which I thought was cool, but then as the comic fan as I am, I felt like that was a bit of a cop-out because it gave us all that weird stuff in the world that we know and we understand, and it was so visually kind of crazy, and we only got a taste of the crazy Ditko. That's why you said Doctor Strange, this movie went full Ditko. It didn't go full Ditko until the very end, I was kind of hoping for more of, you know, like the weird other dimensions, spacescapes and things like that. And it wasn't until the final fight with Dormammu where we actually got a taste of it. Right. And it's just like, oh man, it could be a little more. I will say the astral projection stuff was awesome. You know, when he went out of his body and when he poked out of it to talk to Rachel McAdams, that was fun. Like, that was good.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing that was a big thing when we were talking about it after was the humor. Like, yeah. I think just part of it watching clearly they had fun making it, but it wasn't self-conscious humor. Like, yeah. I thought the timing was really good. I thought the humor there was like, I saw it a really good audience. Not like a lot of cheering, but a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
And I think people, you know, Cumberbatch, he's a really engaging person just to look at. And, when he starts making jokes and there's a really great line where like people used to laugh at my jokes and the guy says, you know, were they working for you?
Yeah.
And you realize just, you know, there was enough to humor to propel it almost like an air pillow throughout, but I think the effects and the humor were great, but there was really no, what was interesting, the B plot was really weak. I'm always sort of interested in seeing, it was a very linear plot,
yes,
and yep. it being such a multi-dimensional kind of story platform, I thought maybe there would be a little bit more side stories or arcs, but maybe they're just really trying to establish the character, I guess, for the next Avengers film, because that's certainly what it looked like towards the end of it.
We'll get to the end credit sequence later on too, but yeah. but I was just going to ask you, like, what B plot? Like, there was no B plot.
That's right. He just was trying to email Rachel McAdams. That was a
yeah, right. No, I mean, like, right. I mean, as I mean, there, there was,
the
I mean, yeah, I mean, there was really, this was very simple in that it was very focused in that it was just, you know, Stephen Strange becoming a sorcerer yep. and then being introduced to this world and eventually becoming Sorcerer Supreme, which I think the movie's only 115 minutes. I mean, like, that's why I said it was tight. I mean, like, it was under 2 hours, which I think is rare for a Marvel movie.
Totally.
And they just kind of got to it. And that's the thing is that, like, and I understand you can't have everything in these, but, I'm with you. I had a good crowd. I saw it on opening day. I saw it at the Alamo Drafthouse. So you've already got, right. you know, people who are into movies and that sort of thing. And what bummed me out was the probably the biggest laugh was when Doctor Strange was talking to Wong, trying to get a reaction out of Wong and saying
right,
other
single name
people. And like, yeah. and what kills, and like, I get Beyonce, okay, that's funny, but like, and boom, that's and now that's dated. So in 20, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right,
it's just,
right.
You know, so that got a laugh. But then the other scene that got a big laugh was when Wong is there studying and Doctor Strange is using the little portal to pull the books yep. he wants. And like, that got a big laugh, which is like that as it should, you know, like that was good.
Right.
And all of the, I mean, we talk a lot about how these Marvel movies differ from the DC movies and that the Marvel movies have heart and have lightness to it. And so I expected some level of humor because that's what we come to expect from these movies. And it definitely delivered there.
It reminded me of this sort of weird mix of the Batman film where the back-breaking one,
yeah.
And then kind of like Harry Potter. It's like it's kind of a similar arc where the man has to get completely stripped down to figure out what his values are, right?
Right.
And then and having this, I mean, even felt a little bit like the first Batman when he goes and meets Ra's al Ghul, like that whole kind of. Look and feel of it just reminded me of, you know, Kathmandu and all that sort of thing. So there's a little bit of it reminded me of other films a little bit when I was watching it, which is fine. But I was more interested. I wanted to see how he would interact with New York. And there was a lot of things that they could have done, but they didn't. Like, now does he live in that place? Like, what?
Well, yeah, no. Just, you get, well, yeah, and so, I mean, it, clearly that he's adopted this the Sanctum Sanctorum in New York as his home.
I would have liked to have seen that a little bit. You know, like, I would have liked to have seen, maybe, you know, it ends with him silhouetted against the window, but maybe he finds a door and he opens it and there's the big library, right? I kind of wanted to see his mission.
Yeah, this movie left a lot for you to interpret. I mean, it left a lot, like, so he I want to say Kunlun, but that's Iron Fist, wherever yeah, the name of the place that he where he was training, you know, like, he gets right there and it's so challenging and it's so, you know, and he's getting beaten up and he's training and all this sort of stuff, and then it goes to that scene that I mentioned where Wong, without any sort of sense of time passing, but oh, he's right up on this shit, like, so I don't know. And then when he goes back to Rachel McAdams, she's like, you disappear, where have you been? You know, and you get a sense that a certain time has passed, but, like, I felt as if they just really connected the dots and you just had to go, as you do with any movie, you just have to go with it. But some of it was like when they get into this big fight with the Mads Mikkelsen or whatever his character's name, I forget, right, the bad guy, who once again in a Marvel movie is just a very simple bad guy, Caselius. Yep. You know, the bad guy didn't impact Doctor Strange in any way.
You know, that actor just have overactive tear ducts? I mean, because he was the one who bled from the eyes in the James Bond movie, right? I mean, it was really distracting. I mean, that was part of the deal, right? He was constantly weeping. Right. I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, it was
weird. I was really disturbed
by it. Good effect. I mean, good makeup and good...
It was,
you know,
cool.
Yeah,
no. But I mean, I think for me, it was a really fun romp that I thought there would be a little bit more thoughtful. There was no air to breathe, to your point. Like, it was let's get it going. It was started off a breakneck pace and really didn't slow down. I like the parts. I would have liked the parts to see him training a little bit more. I would have liked the parts to sort of explore and learn who these other people are. I forgot the guy's name, the partner who turns at the end. I didn't really understand. I guess he's just being set up as the next villain.
Oh yeah, well,
but
no,
I
that,
didn't
well, yeah,
really
I mean, that's,
get that
I mean,
at
that,
all.
That, yeah, that's, I mean, that's Chiwetel Elijah Four's character. He's playing Mordo, who is in the comics Baron Mordo, who's his one of Strange's main villains. So you right. know, so that set up the next movie really, really well. You know, but that's for the next movie. This Caselius character, that, like, Caselius was against the Ancient One and the sorcerers and all stuff like that. It wasn't Doctor Strange's fight. That's what kind of gets me right. about it. And because he's a follower of the Ancient One, then he inherits it, and he's got his master, you know, the Eye of Agamotto and time-based magic and all stuff like that. Because of his ability to do that, it becomes his fight. But he didn't have, and the character says it in the movie. He's like, I don't care. I came here to heal myself. He's like, I
that was the best. That was a great scene. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from in that. Like, you didn't get the sense that Strange, other than trying to save innocent people when they get to Hong Kong and sees what happened and all that sort of stuff, you don't get the sense that Strange cares about it, because it doesn't ring true to him. He doesn't believe in the Ancient One either. He was skeptical of her. Well, speaking of Hong Kong, that drove me crazy in that you've got Wong and all these sorcerers grabbing the weapons, and Wong pulls the wand of Watu or whatever, and then you see him walking out and then cut away, and when we come back, Hong Kong is destroyed.
Oh, just straight up, yeah.
Yeah, that just kind of annoyed me. Don't build up a big
ahead.
Fight and then skip it like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, skip 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like somebody, it's a madman with the universal remote.
Yeah.
I actually had a hard time tracking all of the different pushes and pulls plot-wise. I didn't understand. Like, the big question my friends had at the end of it was, like, why was it okay for Benjamin Bratt to steal energy from this other dimension, but it was bad for Tilda Swinton to pull
right.
from the other dimension? And I think it was because she was extending her life, which was changing, I guess, the timeline, and he was just making it so he could walk again.
Yeah, no, I don't get the sense that Benjamin Bratt was pulling dark energy. He was just
still pulling energy from something.
He was just using,
I thought it was
from something. He was just using magic to heal himself and then walked away. Didn't want to, you know, like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
Tilda
yeah.
Swinton was pulling from Dormammu's dimension to extend her life, similar to how, you know, the other guy was. A Kamar Taj, that's the name of the place where they are.
I mean, you are really doing great with these names. I was like, Bananarama, Dramarama. I couldn't figure, it's like, and I think I've read the words. And it's like, but they would just, they would fly right back. I love the personality of, you know, of the magic. Some of the scenes that really stuck with me were where she was exposing him to this other thinking and him going through these different things. It was a little heavy-handed. Some of the sequences were a bit long, but I bet you it was kind of cool to see them just really. I think that's where they were trying to really like, we're going to be different. Yeah. We're gonna try to imagine the way these comic book panels must have sung in the 70s, and we're going to bring them to the big screen. And
yeah, except the city stuff and all that sort of stuff. They were neat and they were cool.
Well, I'm talking about this. Yeah, I'm talking about the floating through space.
Oh yeah, end battle with Dormammu when finally Doctor Strange takes off and flies off, and I thought the time loop was neat. You know, when he's like, Dormammu, I'm here to bargain. And I understand, like, Dormammu, they went for the big, large face, corporeal face, as opposed to actually giving Dormammu a body and having him with a flaming head and all stuff like that, like he does in the comics, which I get. They take, you know, certain liberty with that. But that, to me, that was just like a taste. Like, the next movie, I want crazy, you know, Brendan McCarthy out there, like kind of stuff. Like, I was actually texting with our friend James about this, and he's like, I want Jodorowsky Strange, you know, like this, like complete, wow, like, you know, kind of out there, you know, and maybe they've got to dumb that down for regular audiences, but I still think, you know, that 70s kind of, you know, spacescape, even what Jason Aaron and Chris Pacello are doing in the comic now, where it looks, you know, it looks unearthly because it is in other dimensions. I mean, that's the kind of cool stuff. You know, maybe this is this is the way we got to ease people into it. I don't know.
This is the curse of the origin story, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just kind of wish you just skipped ahead. And Doctor Strange was this dude, and maybe there are flashbacks to his origin. I think the stutter-stepping of having to explain everybody's origin story is a great way to make some money, but for the people who are really interested in the character, like we were talking, well, where's the B plot? Like, let's expand on some of these themes. Let's really dig deep, and that's not the role of the first film.
Yeah.
It's totally fair. I mean, I guess it's doing well this weekend. I would recommend people to see it because I just have no idea. Like, let's see how well it does compared to Ant-Man.
Well, I can tell you that because I've got all that up. So it's actually doing very well. It's estimated for about an $85 million opening weekend,
right.
And as that compares, that is better than the only other Marvel single character movie that it's not better than was the first Iron Man. Thor's opening weekend did $65 million. Captain America did $65 million. Ant-Man did $57 million, and Hulk did $55 million. So, and Iron Man did nearly $100 million. So, but as far as that goes, this is the second most profitable, or kind of box office revenue for the opening weekend of the single character movies. I don't know if that's on the strength of Benedict Cumberbatch or the timing, it being in November versus the other movies were mainly summer movies. Well, this is a winter movie, you know, so who knows? Who knows what goes into that? But it seems to have been, you know, it seems to have been welcomed well by the audiences and critics alike. I mean, that's the thing. It's like reading some of the reviews and seeing some, you know, people singing the praises of it. I think was great to see. I mean, I want to see people enjoy it. I mean, right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 90%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, look, so I felt really burned, as you know, from Suicide Squad. And then a lot of people were like, but it's like, but I think it was kind of more of the same, right?
Yeah.
And at least this, it at least was like, we're going to just go all in. It's going to be metaphysical. It's going to be magic, but it's not going to be funny Harry Potter magic. It's going to be sorcery. We're just going to really, just as we did, to your point, in the very beginning, just as we did with Guardians of the Galaxy and go into that galactic storyline, we're gonna plant a flag and say this is a valuable part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe now. And I think it established it, but again, to your point, I wish we had stayed out there, quote unquote, out there a bit longer, and as opposed to constantly sort of being in orbit with these places on Earth.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wished that maybe the middle part of the training took place entirely in an existential plane,
at least have a scene in that existential plane.
Yeah.
You know, like some, you know, like instead of always chastising Strange for going too far or looking at what he's not allowed to, or like all that sort of stuff. You know, like give him, you know, and we got that that moment when he played with the Eye of Agamotto and triggered Mordo and Wong to stop him and all stuff like that. But yeah, I would like some. I don't know, but that maybe
I would like a little bit, and also just to see him challenged a little bit other than his hands, right?
Yeah.
Like if there were some of these tenets where he asked for help to sort of figure out, you know, because this is a guy who is based in science, based in medicine, who all of a sudden totally just okay, I'll do all this hippy dippy stuff. Why not? It's like there was never really any kind of moment where he just couldn't get it. Now, maybe that's why he's a superhero and he can just study real, real hard and he can do whatever he wants. But there's, I guess maybe at the end of the day, I would want a little bit more vulnerability so I could see, so I could kind of have an emotional hook with him. Because right now, at the end of the day, he's still super perfect, right? His hands are screwed up. So what? Doesn't matter now. He was able to really recover because he's super, super awesome. And that he's not as sympathetic.
Yeah, so that can, well, before we get to the mid-credit scene, I just want to quickly mention one quick throwaway. I love seeing Michael Stuhlbarg in it. He was the other doctor in the hospital.
I just
love that actor. But he's playing a character that was created by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcus Martin and Doctor Strange the Oath. He's Nicodemus West. So, you know, so nice to see little bits of the comics laid in. Speaking of little bits of the comics, so the credits roll, the movie wraps up. He defeats Dormammu, not with a battle, but actually with tricking him, you know, which is cool. It was nice
to see. Which is great.
Yeah, it's nice to see
super
that.
Super great.
Yeah, instead of just the battle solving and explosions. And they set everything right and put everything back together and
which I just got to interrupt, which was, you know, they really went all in with that reverse time situation.
Yeah.
I thought that was that could have been a really cheap looking sequence, but they really followed through with it. And I thought that was really impressive. Anyway, keep going.
Very good. Very good. I also like the fact that Wong is played by Benedict Wong, which that's a nice little thing. The guy's name actually is Wong, but so we get the mid-credit sequence and we see, Doctor Strange in the Sanctum in New York with the yellow gloves, by the way, although I didn't see any dots. I didn't see any Ditko dots on those gloves.
No Ditko dots.
But he's wearing the yellow gloves and he's having a drink with Thor. And asking Thor why him and Loki are on Earth, and they said they're looking for their father. And he goes, "Well, if I help you, will you leave Earth?" And he says, "You know, I'm tasked with protecting Earth, and you know, why are you? Will you go back to Asgard?" And Thor's like, "Yes." He's like, "All right, well, let's begin." So it sounds like Doctor Strange is going to be in the next Thor movie, which could be pretty cool.
I really like that sequence. I loved hearing Thor's voice before seeing him. I quite enjoyed that. Did you stay for the very, very, very end?
Yeah. Then at the end of the credits, we see Benjamin Bratt and Mordo comes and we see his ascent to villainous as he takes Benjamin Bratt's magic from him and says there are too many sorcerers. So I guess that lays the groundwork for the next movie. So
no more mutants.
Yeah.
You know, all in all, like I loved the thing that I had not realized was just how iconic Doctor Strange's spell casting stances are with his hands. Like some of these movie posters remind me, they have to be, I feel like I've seen Sienkiewicz covers with the same images. And I think, you know, there's a joke with it's sort of an acting thing where, you know, American actors go from their heart out and the English actors go from their costume in. Laurence Olivier famously said that, you know, once he really found the character, once he figured out the shoes that the character was going to wear. And I felt like once Cumberbatch really understood Strange's relationship with his hands and the poses and all of that, that very specific way gesture, it was like it really was cool. Like it's so funny. I guess as a kid, I must have seen Doctor Strange cast a lot of spells because, like, that is exactly right. I mean, I had this opinion about how he should be casting spells.
And I thought, even though it was kind of lame to depend on a device like a ring, but that makes sense. But I thought the teleportation stuff was cool. That was a cool visual, and it made more sense. And I thought the effects with the time control with the Eye of Agamotto on the arm was cool. And then of course the big subtle reveal at the end is that Wong reveals that the Eye of Agamotto is actually an Infinity Stone. It's the time gem.
That was funny. That
also ties it into the greater, larger Marvel universe. You know, at one point Wong even referred to the Avengers, where he's explaining the Strange what they do, and they say, you know, the Avengers protect Earth, but we really are protecting Earth, and so you know.
Yeah.
But
that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, like I said, I mean, I don't want to come down too hard on it. I thought it was, I thought it was good. It was light years better than Suicide Squad. It's this is a good movie. I'll go see it. I would recommend people to go see it. But I don't, you know, like it wasn't the oh my god, wow, I got to see that again. Like I felt with Guardians of the Galaxy or even with Iron Man.
Sure.
You know, so
yeah, you know, I would. I could see kids getting really into it. I think this is like you bring your kid, if you had like there would be this interest of like now I have magic powers. Like there's something about just the character that I could see being really appealing, I'm hoping, to audiences.
I mean it's funny, you know, it's funny because I mean Tony Stark in the first movie, Robert Downey Jr., he played a jerk as well, but we loved them for it. And in this, Benedict Cumberbatch is a jerk, but I didn't love him. I didn't immediately connect to him the way I did with
Ryan. Well, he didn't. You know. But Strange is his sense of humor is making other people feel bad about themselves, right? He's like I'm smarter than you, and that's where a lot of the humor came up. Stark is like I'm smarter than you, but I'm just confident. I have fun. He's cocky, whereas Strange just makes you feel kind of bad about yourself for not being at his level.
Yeah.
Where Stark is a lot. Hey, I'm smarter than you, but let's get a drink. It has to be more bubbly and Strange, I guess, has to be darker. I don't necessarily know why, but I think I'm really looking forward to seeing those two have a scene together, though. That was one of the cool things was seeing the Thor Strange sequence is like watching what is it going to be like when Cumberbatch comes with these other iconic actors in this environment, and I think he can more than hold his own.
How is he going to interact with Steve Rogers, and how is he going to interact we'll find out in the Thor movie because he's going to be in it, so that's pretty cool. So
I quite liked it. I'm with you. I would recommend it to people wholeheartedly. It's a great like Sunday afternoon film. Like we had a great time watching it. Cool. The only thing, like, if I wanted to see it again, I would probably see it in 3D just to check it out.
Yeah, I saw it in 2D. Sequence. I didn't do the 3D or IMAX, but yeah, I imagine
I had a big old screen, but it could be pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a conversion. But it's since all that stuff is CG, it probably would look pretty good. I don't, you know, I probably would be really interested to see if there was an extended cut just to see if there were some sequences that breathed a little bit more. Yeah. But you know, at the end of the day, not unlike Ant-Man, I'm like, I had a really great time with it. I'm glad to see so many other people really enjoying it in the audience around me. People had no experience with the character. Yep. And I'm glad to see another aspect of the Marvel Universe getting a really nice piece of a dose of attention. And it was great. You know, I come off the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer into this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm in good hands. I'm having a really fun time.
It's again the... You know, I would probably give Ant-Man a little bit of an edge to this just because I thought Ant-Man was a bit more fun. But I can't deny this was a good movie. Clearly, it did well in the box office. And again, Marvel seems cannot miss with these movies. So great job to them. So all in all, I think it's a positive. I give it a thumbs up. You give it a thumbs up.
So
you know,
and also I think that's a very approachable film, I think, for non-comic book fans. I think you take your girlfriend or your boyfriend who's not into comics, I think they're gonna have a great time with it.
Right, and it's a different kind of magic than Harry Potter, which I think is nice to see because I can deal with that the wands and the nonsense. all right, so cool. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for this. So go to ifanboy.com where you can comment on this episode, tell us what you thought of Doctor Strange, what your opinions of it are. And we might be done with superhero movies for the year, but we're gonna reconvene. I don't know who or what or how, but we are going to reconvene in December to break down Star Wars Rogue One. Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Right, yeah. So I was disappointed that I didn't get the second trailer in. I thought I would get it.
I was surprised.
Doctor Strange, so, yeah.
Yeah, I got the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I have to admit, I did enjoy it. It was enjoyable.
So, so stay tuned for that later this year. And, of course, every week, every Sunday, you can check out the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast where we talk about the latest in comics. And it's all at ifanboy.com. Mike, as always, thanks for joining us for this.
A pleasure. Yeah, thank you very much, Ron.
All right.
And
so
I'm curious to see what people think. Really curious. Yeah, leave those comments.
Until next time, I need to find a nice red cloak to walk around the city with.
Telling you, man, that's gonna be the new gig.
Good luck.
I need to do. I'm gonna do the goatee. I can do it. I have the gray.
Yeah, go
I just
for
need
it.
To shave it.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.